Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you come with me to John chapter 1? We'll begin in verse 35 in a moment. It may help you to find this little piece of paper entitled, Like Andrew, Bring People to Jesus. There's a famous story about Billy Graham. Billy Graham had just graduated from Wheaton. He was starting to be an evangelist. He was preaching at a small church in Florida. He had had the Sunday service. He'd gone on Monday morning to write some correspondence, and the service would begin again that night. He was leaving the church, and he needed to find a post office, and he saw a 10-year-old kid out near the street, and he said, young man, could you tell me, where is the post office? I need to mail some letters. And the young man said, well, if you'll go up here 2 blocks, turn to the right, and another 2 blocks, it'll be up on your left. Billy Graham said, oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. He said, young man, if you'll come back here tonight, I will share with you the way to heaven. The young man thought for a moment, and he said, no, thanks. You don't even know how to get to the post office. Well, here's the point. We don't know everything, but what we do know, we need to share. And the most important thing we can possibly share is if you have discovered Jesus, you want to share Jesus with your world. And like Andrew, if you'll note the title, Bring People to Jesus. That's what makes Andrew a hero. He got it right. His essential core characteristic was bringing people to Jesus. Now, here's what I would suggest to you. Would you fill in this blank? When you make a big discovery, you share it. There's nothing more natural, there's nothing more normal than sharing a big discovery with other people. For instance, in 1848, James Marshall and John Sutter were building a lumber mill on the American River outside of Sacramento, and they were going to call it Sutter's Mill. Well, they noticed some floating flecks of metal down in the water. They scooped some of them up, and their suspicions were true. They had them tested, and they all turned out to be gold. The word spread like wildfire. As a matter of fact, Samuel Brannan, who was the publisher of the San Francisco newspaper, once the word got to him, he walked down the streets of San Francisco, and legend has it that he simply walked up and down saying, gold, gold, gold in the American River. And people came to good news. As a matter of fact, in 1849, 300,000 people from all over the world came to California. As a matter of fact, that's why we call them the San Francisco 49ers. Every time you hear that football team's name, it reminds you that people come to good news. Well, it was in 1875 that a man named Alexander Graham Bell, he worked on what he called the acoustic telegraph. When he perfected it, he shared it with the world. Today, we call it the telephone. In 1928, Alexander Fleming was a brilliant scientist, and he knew that disease ravaged our world, and he worked on a new medicine that he called an antibiotic. He discovered penicillin. He shared it with the world, and untold millions have been saved and benefited, all because from metal treasures to technology to medicine, people have made discoveries, and they naturally share these discoveries with their world. That's what we see here in Andrew. Andrew, of course, was the very first disciple of Jesus Christ, and he made the most important discovery imaginable, that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Son of God, the Christ, the one who would come to save the human family. And he didn't keep that as a secret to himself, but instead, he shared that discovery with the world. That's what we want to do. And so let's go to school on Andrew's model. Beginning here in John 1, verse 35, let's pick up the story. Again, the next day, John was standing. This is John the Baptist. And two of his disciples were with him. He looked up and he saw Jesus walking nearby. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this thing, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and beheld them following, and he said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come, and you will see. They came, therefore, and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard from John followed him, and his name was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew found first his own brother Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated meaning Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John, and you shall be called Cephas," which translated means Peter. Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you so much for meeting with us this morning. We know that you've got a special word from your word for every receptive heart. I pray that you would get me out of the way, Lord, so that your spirit would have the freedom of moving among us and depositing your transforming truth into every receptive spirit. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's what I want us to do. If you look on this worksheet, I want you to find God's instructions for your priorities and pursuits from Andrew's example. But let's begin right here. Andrew brought to Jesus Simon Peter. Would you make that note? Andrew brought to Jesus Simon Peter, his brother. Evidently, Andrew was a spiritually sensitive person. He heard the word from John the Baptist that God was about to do something very special, that there was a shift going on in the spiritual realms. And because he was a spiritually sensitive person, Andrew wanted to dial in on that shift and be part of the movement of God. That's what you always want to do, friends. See where God is at work and then join him. Well, then one day, Jesus comes and he steps out on the stage of history at age 30, and John the Baptist makes this amazing and far-reaching statement. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world." He is essentially saying that Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, that a suffering servant would come and take on our sin upon himself. Well, Andrew said, I want to follow this man. I want to be with the Savior. He goes at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He finds where Jesus is staying. And evidently, in a very short amount of time, Andrew determines that Jesus is much more than a carpenter from Nazareth. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. At the core of his being, he is convinced. And he goes to who? His brother. His big brother, Simon. Now, did you know that the word Andrew means manly? Now, Andrew was a fisherman, and evidently he was a rough, tough kind of guy. He worked hard for a living. He was out there on the boats. He was pulling those nets. He was a man's man, a Hoyt Henley kind of guy. And I can just see Andrew going up to his big brother and saying, hey, brother, I found it. I found what we've all been looking for. I have found the promised Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, friends, that took some courage. He had to man up to do that, because one of the reasons that we are hesitant to share our faith with our family is because your family knows you best, but they've also seen you at your worst. And so we're afraid, I'm not worthy. We talk ourselves out of sharing spiritual truth with our family because we're even sometimes afraid they may use it against us in the future if we don't live up to the standard of Christlikeness. And yet, Andrew, he summoned his courage, and he did the most important thing of all. He went to his brother, Simon, and he said, "I want to bring you to Jesus." Now, my friends, that is the goal of God for my life. That's the goal of God for your life. We are to bring our family, our loved ones, our friends to Jesus. Look on your worksheet at Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, friends, our ultimate Jerusalem is our family. That's really where it starts. That group of people that know you best and love you most, they deserve to hear the good news of Jesus from you. Do you remember when that man who was possessed with demons, the Gadarene demoniac, came to Christ? What did Jesus say? The man said, "Jesus, can I go with you?" He said, "No, go back home to your family and show them what God has done in your life." So we always start with our Jerusalem. We start with our family. When I came to follow the Lord Jesus as a young teenager, I fell in love with him. I fell in love with the Lord. I went all in. I went all out. My life changed. I did a 180. But I had a problem. I'm the one of five kids, and I had a big problem with my younger sister. I'm just here to confess. I have a sister named Iva, and she's 22 months younger than me, and we had a terrible relationship. I treated her so mean. Now, you got to remember, I was raised by wolves. So, of course, we were a little bit vicious and violent and kind of leaned toward mean. And Iva could give it right back. Oh, I would treat her terrible. She would treat me worse. And we had this sibling rivalry relationship, very competitive, always bickering and sarcastic. And then something happened. Jesus hit me. And he changed my vocabulary, but he also began to change how I related to people. And the hardest people to relate to in a loving way would be the people you're closest to. Have you ever heard the saying, familiarity breeds contempt? You see, when we get to know people real well, sometimes we magnify their flaws to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. And here I had that going on with Iva. But when I came to the Lord, my relationship to her started to change. And soon she gave her life to Christ, and our common denominator was no longer family but faith. We were no longer foes but friends. A beautiful thing happened because I shared Christ in my family. That's the story of Susanna Wesley. Many of you know that Susanna Wesley, one of the most famous and idyllic mothers of all time, had two boys, John and Charles Wesley, and they became the founders of Methodist. Now, she had 19 children, 10 died, 9 survived. But she made this famous and far-reaching statement. She said, "I will not stand before God without my children." That's the right attitude for a parent. That's the right attitude for a family member. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, Jay, time out. I've got some kids, I've got some family members, and they have strayed away. They are as lost as a ball in tall grass. It's not too late. I want you to stand on this promise, friend. It's found in Joshua 24:15. Joshua, he had the courage to say, he had the faith to say, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." And maybe your family's not there yet, but you don't give up because God is bigger than their lostness. God can bring that family member back into a relationship with him. So have that kind of attitude that you are going to have a family of faith and that you will share Christ with your family. When I was in eighth grade, my family took a monumental trip. We left Georgetown, Texas. We traveled up through Colorado. We went to the Yellowstone. We went to the Glacier Park up in Montana. We went all the way to Banff. We turned left, went over to Vancouver, and then we ended up in the high parts of British Columbia and went to Prince George, and my dad went caribou hunting. It was a 6-week trip. Oh, it was incredible. We were in a little camper. We saw the national parks. But on the way back, we were around Mason, Texas. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I summoned all my courage to talk to my father about my faith in Christ. Now, my father was the quintessential Texas cowboy, rough, tough guy. To me, he was John Wayne. And I had this deep fear that my dad didn't know the Lord. And I had this terrible sense that if something happened to him, I wouldn't be in heaven with him. So I summoned all my courage and I said, "Dad, you know, Jesus is real in my life." And it was just me and him in the cab of the pickup. Everybody else was in the back. And I said, "Dad, I want you to be sure that you're connected to Jesus because I don't want you to die and be disconnected and be separated in hell." And I'll never forget, he kind of slowed down. He looked at me and he said, "Jay, I know I don't always talk like I'm a follower of Jesus. I don't always act like it. But I gave my life to Christ when I was a teenager in Johnson City, Texas." And he said, "I'm sorry I've not been the example that I should be." Now, my dad, it's not like the next week he became a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. He would still smoke cigarettes out in the back after the church service was over, and occasionally he would count the offering. He was still kind of a Texas cowboy. But from that day forward, do you know what? Something changed. My dad was growing closer to the Lord, and our relationship took on a more spiritual flavor. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Be like Andrew. Summon the courage to bring your family members, your loved ones, your friends into a relationship with Christ. Let me show you something else I see that instructs us. Number two, Andrew brought to Jesus a child. If you fast forward to John chapter 6, the ministry of Jesus was developing. Thousands of people were following him. But one day, the people were on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee in this grassy area, and they had forgotten what time it was. Probably like you. You don't even know what time it is. You're so engrossed in hearing God's word. Good job. But these people, they forgot what time it was. And hours had flown by, and they realized that their stomachs were growling, and the sun was setting. And Jesus said, I want y'all to find some food for these people. And the disciples said, Jesus, are you kidding? It would take zillions of dollars to feed everybody. And here comes Andrew, bringing a little boy, a little lad with a lunch. And Andrew brought him to Jesus, this child. And this little boy gave his lunch, and Jesus fed a bunch. He gave his loaves and fishes, and Jesus took them and multiplied them. But who was at the core of that miracle? None other than Andrew, because he brought a child to Jesus. Now, we can learn something from that. You see, our greatest goal, if you have the privilege and the honor and responsibility of being a parent, is to bring your own children to Jesus. You see, that's the summa bonum of parenting. Mary Ruth and I have had the privilege of seeing our four children give their life to Jesus Christ and develop an authentic faith. Not a borrowed faith from us, but their faith is real. They've owned it. They're living for Jesus every day. And that's what you want as parents. You want to live a life that doesn't contradict your witness. You see, Mary Ruth and I have prayed that we would never be a stumbling block to our children's faith, but a stepping stone. Nothing that we would do or say, nothing in our attitudes or reactions would blunt our witness. Now, we've not done that perfectly, but our kids have all connected to Jesus Christ. And I would suggest to you that you have that same responsibility. God calls you to train your children. Here's a pretty good saying. Before a child reaches 7, teach them well the way to heaven. When a child's heart is tender and young, they are so receptive to doing the most natural thing in the world, and that is trusting their Creator who loves them. But as a child gets older, their heart a lot of times grows harder, and they're more difficult to win to Christ. So I would urge you, help your child come to the Lord. Now, there are some people who denigrate sharing the gospel with children. There could be nothing more off base. And let me show you from the scripture. Listen to what Jesus said. Look on your worksheet in Luke chapter 18. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. You see, Jesus here is saying, let the children come to me. And that's what we do at our church. That's what we do through Sunday school. That's what we do in missions programs, in our music programs, in RAs and GAs, in everything we do, Bible drill and vacation Bible school. We are trying to do like Andrew and bring our children to Jesus. And I would urge you to join us. Make this church your partner in raising your children, and we'll help you bring them to Jesus. And then we need you to engage in that partnership. We need you to teach Sunday school. We need you to be part of RAs and GAs and Mission Friends. We need you to step forth and be very proactive in helping us bring children to the Lord Jesus and disciple them. I would urge you as parents to take on a scout troop or a Girl Scout troop or a sporting team. Take that team on in Jesus' name for the purpose of sharing Christ with those kids and discipling them. I'll give you an example. We were always very engaged in the schools as Mary Ruth and I were raising our kids. I would go on all these field trips because I had some variability in my schedule. So I went on a field trip, for instance, to Camp Chandler one day with Jason and his class. He was in the fifth grade at Danley Elementary School. And there at Camp Chandler, I met a couple of his friends. And these girls were fascinated that I was a pastor. They didn't go to church. I told them about Jesus. I gave them a little brochure. And they said, well, Pastor Jay, can we give our lives to Jesus? Right there on that field trip. Do you think I said no? Oh, man, no. I said yes. We prayed at Camp Chandler on a field trip, and those kids gave their life to Christ. They later came. They were baptized at our church. They graduated as seniors in high school from this place, and they both got college scholarships, by the way. I'm telling you, our job as parents is to be an active witness and help connect children to Jesus. But let me show you something else. Andrew, number three, brought to Jesus some Greeks. Not geeks, but Greeks. we learn in John chapter 12, starting in verse 20, that there were some foreigners in town. And they were Greeks. They were not Jews. Now, you got to remember, the Jews divided the world into two parts, Jews and non-Jews. The ancient Jew had this mentality, it's us against the world. Everybody's against us. So it's us against the world. And these Jews naturally were very prejudiced. Andrew was a prejudiced person. But he had been hanging around Jesus, and Jesus had touched his spirit, and now he realized that everybody matters to God. And so he engaged in being an international missionary. My friend, may I lovingly tell you that you've never looked into the eyes of somebody that Jesus didn't die for? You've never shaken the hand of somebody that God doesn't love? You see, everybody matters to him. The scripture declares in Galatians, look on your worksheet, you see, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. We're all one in Christ. That's why Jesus said in the Great Commission to go to all nations. Everybody counts. Everybody matters to God. So in that moment, Andrew expanded his cultural horizons. He moved beyond his own tribe, and he brought these Greeks to Jesus. And here's the point. We ought to be looking to see how we can bring people who are different than ourselves to the Lord. You know, one of the things that we do really uniquely well at this church is we have international ministry. Last year, did you know that we had over 600 different people engaged in our conversational English programs that we use as a platform to share Christ with people? And those 600 people were from 61 different nations, and they all came to 305 South Perry Street. So in other words, you could go on an international mission trip and never leave town. Just come down here to 305 South Perry, because we got a party for internationals going on down here. And you can be part of it, just like Andrew. So I would urge you to understand that God is calling you to connect to the nations. And here's the key, it's just to be open to all people. Do you remember Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And if you want to turn on the switch to that light, it's this simple, be friendly. Have a spirit of joy. Have a spirit of excellence. Be open, be loving, be inclusive. And you'll turn on that gospel switch and people will be drawn to the light of Christ in you. Well, here's the completing question. Andrew brought his brother. He brought children. He brought Greeks to Jesus. Who will you bring to Jesus? Who will you bring to Jesus? This is your assignment, to be an Andrew. Let me give you one of my favorite stories in closing. There was a man by the name of Edward Kimball. In 1856, Edward Kimball, he was a businessman and a Sunday school teacher in Boston. Well, a young teenage boy, 13, 14 years old, showed up to a Sunday school class, and he was good at following up on these kids and caring about these kids. So he heard that this young man worked at a shoe store, and he tracked down the shoe store in downtown Boston, and he went to him, and he found that he was in the back arranging shoes, and he went back there, and he shared Jesus with him. He shared the gospel with him, and this young man right there in that shoe warehouse, he prayed to receive Christ. His name was Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody. As a matter of fact, he became one of the most famous evangelists in American history. It's said that Dwight L. Moody shook two continents for Christ, America and Europe. One day he was preaching in England, and F.B. Meyers heard Dwight Moody preach, and something was stirred in his heart, and he came to the Lord. He gave himself to Jesus. He started following Christ. He became a famed preacher, and he was preaching over in America at a place called Furman University. And there, F.B. Meyers was preaching, and there was a young man named Wilbur Chapman who listened to this great orator for Christ, and he gave his life to the Lord. And he was called into a gospel ministry of sharing Christ through evangelism. Well, he was preaching, and a guy named Billy Sunday, who was a famed baseball player and a drunkard and a rounder, he came to know the Lord, got radically saved. And Billy Sunday preached all over the country. Well, one day he was preaching in Louisville, Kentucky, and a guy named Mordecai Ham heard the gospel, and Mordecai Ham's life was changed, and he became a preacher of the gospel. In 1933, a group of Charlotte, North Carolina businessmen got together and said, let's have a crusade. Let's have a gospel preaching time. And they invited a guy named Mordecai Ham to come. And in 1933, a farm boy at age 15 came to hear Mordecai Ham, and he stepped forward at the end of that gospel presentation and gave his life to Christ. His name was Billy Graham. So Billy Graham's worldwide ministry, Billy Graham is considered one of the most famous people in the world, always in the top five. Billy Graham's giving his life to Christ can be originally traced to a Sunday school teacher presenting the gospel on a Saturday morning in a shoe warehouse. He was operating like Andrew, and the call of God is for us to do the same. Let's pray.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.